From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Let's talk to somebody who's involved in the delivery of IT security, and his firm was just acquired. Let's talk with Bryant Tao, who is with LeapFrog IT, about his experiences in security. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Bryant, where are you joining me from today?
I am in our headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, right off of North Druid Hills.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to dive right in because LeapFrog positions with a ring of security methodology. Tell me what that is.
Okay. So going a little farther back, not so much when the earth cooled, but, maybe just a few years anyway. So I came into this industry, out of the technical world, right? Started building computers out of my bedroom when I was in college. I turned that into a business. I followed wide area networking. My CCIE number started with a 4 when they were 4 digits, right? So it was all technical. And as I grew up in the space, I eventually became chief security officer for CSC in their financial services group. Life and annuity, property casualty, banking, and all that, working with a lot of mid-market accounts. And what I noticed in all of that was that while the technical side of security is very, very important, when you look at the headline breaches, I still use Equifax, although Rackspace has given me something a little more current. When you look at the root cause analysis, right, when you get into the five whys, it is almost always there's something in there that's program, there's something in there that's people, something in there that's a process. Right. So there's nothing new about people, processes, technology, and facilities. Right. That's existed since transistors were created. But when you wrap the attack surface around your organization, around those pillars, what we discover it is that technology barely covers your half of your attack surface. Right. So you can do your technology perfectly. And miss a third-party risk, Target is still the poster child, right, for that. You can miss the patches for Equifax that had been out for 6 months. Now, is that a technology problem, or is that change management, resource management, lack of funding, lack of attention? Something in that program broke and caused that. Now, Rackspace recently, right, we know because we had those same issues here. We had the same exact hosted exchange zero-day vulnerabilities here, but our processes were on top of that. And, you know, we were able to get into our maintenance windows, get everything changed, patched up, and we had no issues. But yet now, however many weeks later, something happened, right? So when you ask me about Ring of Security, what it really is about, it's about protecting your program holistically, not just focusing on bits, bytes, and blinky lights. Because according to MIT and Columbia, even if your technology is 100% perfect, most of your attack surface is on the governance side and processes and those kind of things. So we call that our Ring of Security.
So how does that work? Do you walk a customer through a process then? Is it ongoing? Talk to me about it, like how it's implemented.
Basically, we take the customer through, identify if there are any compliance targets, best practices, you know, if they're not-for-profits, manufacturing, financial services, those kind of things. And actually get them on a maturity model. So, for example, so let's say something we'll say basic as incident response. All right, well, you have no incident response. Well, that's easy, right? That's a big zero. All right. So we know what we need to do to get there. Or you have a plan, not doing anything with it, or you have a plan and somebody's read it or it's tested, you know. So we make our way through the maturity model. And when you line up all of your controls that way, you get on a maturity model, and you can actually come up with a risk score holistically within the organization, and then identify how you're doing maybe against your peers in a similar market, similar size, and that kind of thing. Right. So the most important thing about all of that is what's the span? What's the resources, right? Because everybody does an assessment. Well, I don't need you to tell me I don't have an incident response plan, right? I don't need that. What I need for you to do for me is to tell me what a quality incident response plan would be for my size and type of organization, right? I'm not a Fortune 500. I don't need a team of 30 people, right? I'm a small to medium, I'm a 300 employee manufacturing company with roughly 200 IP touch points. What do I need? Okay. Not only what do I need, what does it take for me to get there? Cost, is there a hardware, software spend that I need? Is there, what resources, internal, external, do I need? And then what's that going to cost? When do I do it? How do I keep that up to speed? And how do I maintain that running, what is that run and maintain budget on a quarterly basis so I can measure the cost that I have for security? So I think at the end of all of that, what I'm hoping to convey is that, when we say security, from my seat, what we're really looking at is a risk management program, of which IT is a large component, of course, but we're also looking at the governance processes and procedures, all those kind of things that we need to do, and how we effectively measure it.
So you mentioned that, you were with CSC's Financial Services Group, but you're also a fellow at the Poneman Institute, and you've worked with the Department of Homeland Security and their Sector Coordinating Council. Like, how do those experiences influence your choices now?
The Poneman Institute was fantastic, working with Larry. That was back when we were doing the Check 21 program with Frank Abagnale. Frank, we had brought Frank in for check fraud, and I was handling the cyber side of that. For that particular instance, I would say how that comes forward today is just being able to see life through a larger lens, which was probably the beginning of the road for me down more of the governance side, and really getting a lens into what fraud looks like, kind of the mind of the criminal, translating that into cyber criminal, and those kind of things. And then on the federal government side, I was on National Board for InfraGuard for 12 years, 16 if you count the being an officer and whatnot, and working with the Bureau. And working on the cleared or the required clearance side and seeing that type of security approach, and then being able to take what we were able to declassify and bring that over into the commercial world was really a very, very eye-opening experience. I think a lot of those experiences cast an interesting light over the processes and the things that we come up with for solutions today.
Can you give me an example of something from the classified world that you've moved over into sort of the commercial space?
In the SMB managed services market, it's kind of tough to tie maybe some of those things in, but all of it. So the methods, the TTPs, right? Techniques, tactics, and procedures that go into, even if the solution itself, like facial recognition. I was on the 20, the wall project where we were actually doing facial recognition and things like very uniquely identifying individuals from a distance. And you learn things like the folds of your ears are actually more identifiable than a fingerprint. And those kind of things can be seen at night from a distance with very specific classified technology. From a just theoretical perspective, the idea that the things that you think are the most identifiable in the cyber world may or may not be. So it kind of gives you that that energy and hope to look in other places for other things to be able to develop other solutions, because not everything is exactly what it seems.
So as you're taking these solutions into sort of that mid-market and SMB space more, so how is LeapFrog organized? Is security a separate division? Is it integrated in? How's the organization done to deliver those solutions?
So we follow the ring of security internally as well. So the people, process, technology, facilities, right? We understand all of that. So as the CSO, I'm kind of in that overseeing advisory role on the SOC side. The Security Operations Center reports into the CTO. But you also have to remember here, I've been here all about 4 months, right? So I'm still learning a lot of the things, and Trey and Michael have been here for many, many, many years. So we're still integrating. It should probably be noted that how I landed here is LeapFrog acquired a company that I owned called Cyber Risk Solutions. Right. So LeapFrog was a partner for about 3.5 years because it was a fantastic marriage, right? All they did was the technical side. And then cyber risk being purely governance, we ended up with 5, 6, 7 customers on the roster where they're doing the technical, we're doing the governance side, and it completed the ring. And then after a while, it just made sense for us to, I'll say join forces being the one that was acquired, for us to join the LeapFrog team. So we're still, it's a bit of an early question to ask how we're organized exactly because of the newness of the acquisition. But for right now, we are keeping technical, and the governance side is advising and doing those kind of things as we would on the governance side. And then, but, you know, eventually all of that will become part of the single ring.
So the follow-up question that would make sense is, so what's the vision then? There'd be a premise for the acquisition and to bring the two organizations together. What's the vision of transformation here?
So the LeapFrog organization has gone to market as a security-centric IT service provider, and all of their security focus was all on the technical. And it started to become obvious the more clients that we worked with. And so there would be a client in town that had a breach or had something like that that we would be working with. We would bring LeapFrog. And it really bubbles to the surface the fact that governance is as important, if not more so. I mean, depending on who you ask. If you ask me, I'm going to tell you that, right? A technical person might disagree. But it just became very obvious that if you're going to be a security-centric IT service provider, as LeapFrog has gone to market with for you, you have to have that governance piece. If you're truly going to protect your clients, LeapFrog does an amazing job of putting a 9-foot steel fence around the front. But without the governance, the back is wide open. So by bringing cyber risk in our governance model and how we do third-party risk, right? How we do incident response, policy, compliance, all of the training and awareness programs, all those kind of things, to really build that fence the rest of the way around the organization. So the integration of the services brings that entire ring. It brings that entire fence all the way around the clients. And there really are very few, if any, other IT managed service providers that can truly say that they will be able to effectively manage your governance programs and develop them and watch them for you, as well as just your IT. I don't see any other competitors in the market that have that capacity.
Gotcha. So I'm going to throw out a premise, and I want you to react to it.
Okay.
All right. So I've taken the position that IT security is actually a tax on business, as you have to pay it to be in business. And many of the software vendors act as arms dealers benefiting from the chaos.
Okay.
What's your take on that premise?
I'm going to answer that in two ways. So first of all, the fact that it's a tax on the business is an interesting perspective, probably from somebody who is sitting counting beans and seeing the cost going out. Okay. I'm going to address that this way. There was a study that came out recently, and I'm not typically, I don't bury myself down into statistics, but I do try to follow the trends around them, right? But there are very few that actually make it through to me. One of them was on the e-commerce side. It was very interesting that 60% of carts are abandoned if there are not proper security controls in place, such as a capture, a two-factor, something like that, before a consumer will put in a credit card, if they don't see proper security controls, they will abandon their cart. And that number hit 60, up 40% from last year. So if that's the case, we've kind of eclipsed this mantra of security being a, quote, tax or being a hindrance on the business, and that consumers themselves now are driving it. So is it a tax or is it a business enablement that allows you to continue to do business with those consumers? So I've also argued for years that, I mean, how do you put something out on the internet? How do you have a presence in all of that, you know, without the security? Are your brakes on your car a tax? Are you going to take your car out without brakes? No, of course not, right? You have to have that as a component. So if you're looking at the security cost as a separate line item as a tax, that fundamentally is a flaw in the thinking of the organization, in that security is separate and apart from and not integrated in, and that is the first fail in the program, right? So security has to be integrated across all areas, and if you're identifying it out as a separate line item, you're probably also identifying it out in the program itself, which makes things very difficult for us to monitor and manage as a program.
And the second part then on arms dealers?
Yeah, the arms dealers thing. Okay, well, first of all, I think the logic is fundamentally flawed in that if they're arms dealers, arms are typically considered offensive, right? So, I mean, you know the difference between a civil engineer and a defense engineer, right? Right. Civil defense engineers build weapons. Civil engineers build targets. But if you're saying arms dealer, that implies offensive, and most of the security tools in the marketplace are actually defensive. So I don't know. I don't know how to respond to that. That's a very interesting, it's an interesting take.
It would sound like then that you would think more security is an operational integration piece, and thus probably more realistically lives in costs of goods sold for a business. So it should be bundled into the product. Is that a fair take then on your thinking of it?
Absolutely fair. Absolutely fair. Yeah, absolutely. Because fundamentally, you're not going to sell, I mean, in this day and age, you're not going to sell a car without brakes or airbags or any of the safety features and things like that. As a matter of fact, when you listen to most car commercials, you know, Volvo always comes to mind, right? It's a competitive advantage. The way that we protect our data and, you know, we want you to come in, do business with us, and we're going to lead with security, in that, you know, it's a trust sale. So do you separate that out as a tax, or do you put that out front on the hood ornament, and use that actually as a competitive advantage?
Got it. So what keeps you up at night?
Just simply the fact that the threats are always evolving. We're never done. I come into this job every day, and I've been doing this, in the security space for over 25 years. And you think you've seen it, And then you get another one that came up yesterday where somebody had downloaded a stalker ware onto their phone that did a memory scrape, including the token that goes over to the web browser that goes in. They create a forward then delete rule, and then a website, impersonation website with an S added to the domain has been created. Right, I mean, it just gets very, very sophisticated. You know, and I get asked that question a lot. You know, how do you sleep at night? And well, in the security space, you sleep like a baby, right? You wake up screaming every 2 hours. Right. So it is what it is. But, you know, the way you put those things to rest, I think, is the most important, Dave, is in having the peace of mind of the program, right? Having a good program in place, metrics, measurements, all of those kind of things, having an incident response plan. So when it does, and as cliche as it is, everybody says it, right? You know, it's not if, but when, that we effectively turn that into an eye roll instead of a running down the street with your hair on fire, right? That's how you sleep at night. That when you get that call that this has happened to a client, or, you know, we have a new client coming in and blah, 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 and all, you know, all that, that when that does happen, we know who to call. We know exactly what we need to do. We know what we need to plug in, what we need to unplug. We know who our law enforcement contacts are, right? We know all of those things. So you kind of roll your eyes and go, yeah, okay, this is ransomware, this and this, and this is how we're going to handle it. We know where all those things are. We know how to get restored, and we're going to be back up and running in 37 minutes because we've tested it. And that's how you sleep at night.
So if you were launching a new business today, what would it look like and where would you focus?
Part of the reason that I joined the LeapFrog team, without getting into a financial conversation, the impending recession, whichever side of the aisle you sit on doesn't really matter, financial indicators or indicators, but managed IT, managed security, it is actually a cost to take out in most organizations, right? So it's somewhat recession-proof. So if I were to go out and start a business, I'm where I landed. I landed here on purpose because I think with me being in the security space and on the governance side, being able to round out the wing of security on a managed IT provider that is a cost takeout and can actually improve operations and improve efficiencies going into a recession, it's a very, very good place to be sitting, to know that when you wake up in the morning and you go out and meet a client, that you have the capability to meet their needs all the way around the ring of security, be able to do things for them in a much more efficient manner, much cheaper manner, and just basically better. Right. So that's a really, really good position to be in going into what some say would be a questionable economy.
Well, if people were interested in reaching out and had some additional questions, how could they do that?
Sure. My email address at LeapFrog is Bryant, B-R-Y-A-N-T, .tow, T-O-W, at LeapFrogServices.com. Certainly Googleable and all of those kind of things.
Awesome. Brian, thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. I sure appreciate it, Dave. Thank you so much.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit MSPradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
I live by routines, but I especially love my same-day delivery routine with Shipt. And my shopper knows this about me. When Sunday rolls around and I place my weekly stock-up order, Joe sends texts from the aisles. Wilted lettuce? Nuh-uh. Hard pass. Deal on my favorite sparkling water? Whew. Grab two. Fresh flowers just because? Hmm, sounds like a delightful idea. If you love routines that work for you, get Shipt same-day delivery. Shipt. Delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com/hi.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.